have my own thoughts sometimes, and I get into the flesh at times, and I want to get, like everybody in this place, we all want to be right. Amen. We all have our ideas, and we got ideas on how to bake macaroni and cheese. Kevin's got a great recipe. Macaroni and cheese, and everybody thinks their recipe, their way is right, and so they will defend it, and that's fine. But in the end of all things, we still come together in unity and one accord, and we say, we love God, and we love one another, and that's all that matters. Amen? So don't rejoice because somebody is in there and somebody's not in there. Don't be weeping and crying. Just say, Father, your will be done. I trust that God puts in positions of authority what the word says. He raises one up and he puts one down. Amen? So praise God. That's enough said over that. I'm done. Hallelujah. Amen? So, as I was preparing this morning for the message, I prayed, and I was up and praying and so on. And all during the week, I really feel the Lord is leading us. And where God is leading us into is really coming to a place of being healed physically, spiritually, in every relationship, in every area of our life, in our soul, everything being healed so that you're whole and sound and you can be an instrument for God's kingdom. And then we learn to walk in that perfect health. Jesus, when he came, he said, listen, I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. John 10, right? I came to give you life and give it to you. What's the abundant life? The abundant life is where you lack in nothing. You lack in no good thing. Everything that you know is good is yours. Now, if you're talking about things that go against God's word, that's not good. Amen? Okay, thank you. At least one of you. Listen to what he said. Let me take you someplace. And I'm doing this, by the way, by the grace of God. Because I left my notes someplace and I don't know where they are. So what you're getting is from my heart and from, I believe, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. In Matthew 13, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was explaining to them about the Word of God. And he's talking about the sower sowing the Word. And then the disciples came to him wanting to find out what he meant because he was speaking in parables. And they didn't have the Spirit of God in them to bring discernment to them and revelation to them. So he had to go to a man to get an explanation. How many of you guys got the Spirit of God? If you're born again, Spirit-filled child of God, you've got the teacher, the ultimate teacher living in you.
Amen.
Amen? And he will bring divine wisdom and revelation to you in the knowledge that you're seeking if you're seeking the things of God. Amen? Now, if you've got a problem in the world, guess what? He can also help you overcome those problems. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is really given to us as a helper, a comforter, what the Bible calls him, a comforter, helper, to help us, hallelujah, in our time of need. Amen. Amen? So my goal here today is to remind ourselves to really get to a place where not only do I know it intellectually, but I've got it so deep within my heart, as David said, I have hid your word so deep into my heart that I may not sin against you. And I often thought he was talking about the flesh, but how many know David sinned many times? Amen? So he isn't talking about the sins of the flesh there. What was he talking about? And I kept going to the Lord about that. What are you talking about? Did he manage to sin? God says the only sin that will truly affect your life. Now, don't get me wrong. Sins of the flesh will affect you. If you continue in them without any true repentance, they will affect your life. But he said that what he did was, he took the word of heart, the word of God, my words, and put them so deep in my heart that he never moved from his place of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So David, even in the midst of his battle of the flesh that he had, and the battles of the natural realm where he had all kinds of enemies come against him, he had faith that God would deliver him out of them all.
Amen.
And he trusted God.
Amen.
He trusted God. How many of you know it's good to learn to trust God?
Oh, yes.
He trusted God. In Psalm 40, I'll take you there in a minute. Stay here. I want to read this first. I hope. But David wanted, and God was saying, he's a man after my own heart. God's heart is one of, listen, well, I'm going way so far ahead of myself. All right, let me back up. Let's go to Matthew 13. Let me do this. I'm trying to jump ahead, and I don't want to get ahead. I want you to hear this, because this is how God gave it to me. Matthew 13, verse 14. And he said, in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. But the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Jesus came to bring us life, to save that which is lost, to restore relationship between God's creation, man, and God in heaven. He came down to reveal the very heart of God and the mind of God. That he wanted to show the people that God did not want them to suffer while they lived in this earth. It wasn't his idea for people to be poor. If you looked in the garden, everything they needed and more so. God always, he said, all the gold and silver and the cattle on a thousand, all belongs to him. God doesn't want you sick. God does not get glory out of your sickness. He did not bring sickness into the world. God did not put sickness on you. God did not stop that one individual or those individuals, stop them from getting sickness and disease because they were following a path that was contrary to his. I'm going to show you in the scriptures. I'm not going to tell you. God intended you to have good health, perfect health, all the days of your life. God never intended you to lack in any good thing. God never intended you to live in fear. God never intended you to be alone. You know, that's a terrible feeling. Terrible feeling when you think that I'm a Christian, but it seems like God has left me. That's a terrible feeling. It's a good feeling when you wake up in the morning, you know that God is with you the whole day. You know you've got trust in him, that he's going to lead you and guide you. He's going to prosper whatever your hand sets to do. He's going to bring you a peace and a joy in your life that you've never experienced before, because you know your God is working with you and for you. Amen. He's a mighty God. His intent is for us to understand he established a covenant for us so that we can have peace and joy, strength and power and might in this life.
That's right.
But what happens? Because of the things of the world and the cares of the world and all the riches of this world, we look around us and say, oh, look, they got a new car. Oh, I wish I could have a new car. And you'll go out and do everything you can to get that new car. Oh, they got a nice home. They got a bigger house. And I want a bigger house. I want to go. So you'll do everything you can to get a new house. Instead of going to the Father, we go to the world to meet our desires.
Amen.
We love this world so much that we will break up marriages. We will divorce ourselves from churches. We will get away from anything that separates me from what my heart's desire is. And we will justify it by any means we can. And the justification just a slap to God's face. Because we're saying to him, you're not doing what I need and want, so I have to do it myself. In the end, he said it. Go ahead. Do your thing. I'll let you go. He loves us enough to give us a free will to do our life the way we want to live it. But those, and he goes on to say, which is the good news at the end of this. Listen what he says. But blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears, for they hear. You see, you hear. Amen. Blessed is the one who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. God is speaking to his church today, and he said, listen, stop looking to the world for your answers for your life. It doesn't give you life, it gives you death. In my kingdom, there is life. That's why he told us, seek first the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Seek that first. And what? His righteousness. What's he saying? First of all, submit to me and walk by faith, knowing that your righteousness is by faith and not by your works. Amen? He's trying to tell us that we can live this life here on earth that God intended us to live, even while here. Okay. Seek first the kingdom of God. Not seek the things of this world. Not seek other things, other people. Seek first the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? Where Jesus Christ is Lord and Master over your life. Not just on Sunday morning, not just on a Wednesday night, but every day. Every day, he's Lord of your life. Every single day. Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? Do all I command you to do. In other words, I have told you how to live your life and so that you can be blessed. How do you live your life? So you can be blessed. I'm getting a feedback. How do you live your life so you can be blessed? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, hang in there. Go with me into, where do I want to go, Lord? Give it to me. Go into Exodus 15. Okay. I want to show you something. Verse 26. Look what he says here. And said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Amen? The exact translation of that is, I will not permit these diseases to come on you. God didn't put it on them. God didn't bring sickness and disease on you. Go into Deuteronomy 28. He said, I won't permit them to come on you. Hallelujah. Go to Deuteronomy 28. We know in Deuteronomy 28, it's a blessing and curse, right? Blessings on obedience, that's what it says, the headline on there. Now that wasn't in there when they wrote this. Curses on disobedience. Amen? Go to curses. At the end of curses. Let's see. You gotta find it. All right. Moreover, verse 60, he will bring back, or he will allow, all the diseases of Egypt on which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law, every sickness, every plague that isn't written in there, will the Lord allow that to come back into your life? When God was dealing with Job, It says that Job, Satan went up to God and complained that Job had a hedge of protection about him, so he couldn't be touched by the diseases and sicknesses of this world. Amen? When Jesus walked this earth, the scriptures tell us that Jesus said to Satan, "You have no power over me. You have no part in me. You have no part in me." In other words, Jesus couldn't be touched with the sickness and diseases of this world, so he could walk around and touch a leper and never be get sick with leprosy. You understand what I'm saying to you? There is a place where we do not have to be afraid, but we can actually live a life of power and might in Christ that the devil cannot touch us. He said we have been redeemed from the curse by Jesus because he became a curse for us. So all those sickness and diseases that came out of the curse, Jesus took upon himself.
Amen.
In effect, they can't touch us. Why do they still touch us? Because my people perish for lack of knowledge. Until we understand the covenant relationship we have with our Heavenly Father, and that we establish our faith on that promise, we are always going to be open to what the devil wants to do, because he can tempt us to remove the barrier of protection from us. God did not give you a spirit of fear. When you allow fear in your life, you open a venue for the enemy to come in and bring all its curse with you, with him. Amen? When you hold on forgiveness, you open a door, a venue for the enemy to come in. Any place you operate your life outside the parameters of love, the enemy has a place to get in. Perfect love casts out all fear. When you put your hope in anything except Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the cross at Calvary, the resurrection, the ascension, and your position with him in heavenly places, and you put hope in anything else other than the Word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the name of Jesus Christ, you put your hope in anything other than that, you open a venue for the enemy to get in. Because when you put your hope in other people, they will let you down every time. And you cannot depend that they will not be used to bring a word of division, a word of separation from the promise of God into your life. I remember a time we were in here, and God was he was an amazing God. He's amazing. I'm just telling you. He's got things ready for us that you when he's talking about restoration, man, he ain't talking about having a brand new car. Amen. He's going to give you a brand new everything. You're going to have newness of everything. And I remember a time when the people in here, and two people get together and complain about their mates. Right here in the church. Sit together and complain about them. Talk bad about them. God forbid you ever talk bad about a brother or sister in Christ, whether your husband or anybody else, your wife, whoever it is. You do, you better take a piece of duct tape and put it over your mouth until you learn to shut up. I'm telling you. Because you're cursing yourself with everything else around you. Your whole family, your life, everything becomes a curse. I'm telling you. Beware. Don't be silly. Don't be dull of hearing. If your life isn't the way you want it, and you're not happy and full of joy and peace and love, you've got an open door someplace. You need to learn where it is and shut it. Because the devil's working with you, and you're working with him. hallelujah, going to shout all about it. I believe in this place we have people who have eyes to see and ears to hear. You're not dull of hearing. You're not blind. You know what God said to you. He told you what he is going to do with you and for you and in you. And you have not given up. You have not given up. You have not turned your back on him. You have not turned your back on the truth. You have not turned your back on the Spirit of the living God. You are still seeking the things above and not the things below. You're still hungry for holiness and righteousness. You're still a man and woman of God. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I stand before you as a servant of God, filled with the Spirit of God, walking under the anointing of the living God. And where the light comes out of me, it shines and removes darkness. That's you too, by the way. That's you too. That ain't just me. That's us. Once you understand who you are, you're not going to let the devil lie to you and say, oh, that sickness is on to death. No, it isn't. That sickness is unto life. I shall live and not die and proclaim the works of my God. Why? Because I have a covenant with him and he promised me health. Yes. He promised me health and I know what he said and he will not deny his truth. He said, my word will never come back void what I send it forth to accomplish. And I sent my word to heal you. Now he's talking about healing, the physical healing, the spiritual healing. Well, the spiritual healing you already got if you're born again. The physical healing, the mental healing. Yes. Relationship healings.
Hallelujah.
Oh my gosh.
Jesus. Oh my God, my God.
Your God.
Jesus.
Your God, my God, our God. We're going to stand tall. We're not going to be bowed down. What did Jesus say to the woman? She was walking along. He went over and he prayed for her on the Sabbath. They all got mad. He said, what's wrong? If one of your donkeys fell into a pit on the Sabbath, you would pick him out. Shouldn't this woman who was bogged down by Satan all these years be set free? Jesus came to set the captives free. Some are being held captive by the enemy who has no right to touch them, to come into their lives. Has no right.
Right.
Has no right. He has the power, but no right. And when you stand up and you say, no, in the name of Jesus, I have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. He took my sickness and my disease and my infirmities, my pain. He took it at the cross at Calvary. And I am saying to you right now, I am free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I am free from all of that. You stand up against them. You talk. You tell them what God said. He has to honor the word of God. He will not honor what you say. You just speak the oracles of God. You speak the truth. You come out and just say, thus saith the Lord. And sometimes you got to get yelled.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to... I'm sick and tired of the devil in my home. I'm sick and tired, and the home can be this. The home could be where you live. The home could be where you work. Wherever you go, wherever you've got God. We got to live this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It isn't just on a Sunday morning we come in here. I live it every day. When you get up and you get in your vehicle, plead the blood of Christ around your vehicle. Speak the word of God. It says, Lord, I thank you for your ministering spirit. Surround my vehicle. Give me a safe journey on the road. When you sit down to break bread and you eat lunch or whatever it is, give him thanks. Tell him, Lord, it's all from you. You provide all my needs.
Amen.
Give him thanks. Learn to walk around with joy and peace and love and power. Listen, I have power over all the enemy because the word of God tells me I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. He said, if I obey God and resist the devil, he'll run from me.
Amen.
He'll run from me. And I'm telling you right now, sickness, disease, infirmity is from the devil.
That's right.
Majority of it is demonic. The demons are afraid you're going to find out who you are. Demons are afraid of you. They're not afraid of your ignorance. Matter of fact, they love that. But they're afraid of when you know the truth and you start operating out of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You start operating out of the kingdom of God. You start declaring and claiming what is rightfully yours. That's mine. Take your hands off it. Get out. That's my home. That's my family. That's my life. That's my body. That's my finances. Get out. That's my mind. Get out. As long as you accept it, he's willing to stay there.
That's right.
Yeah, but everybody else is going to think I'm crazy. They're going to tell me, shut up. So what? If they start to see the power of God being released in your life and in the life of those in your family, they're going to change their mind.
Amen.
Paul said it. He said, look at 2 Corinthians. Or no, 1 Corinthians, sorry, chapter 2. Here's what he says here. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with the excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, he said, listen, I don't want to know all the stories about this and that and that. I just want to know, did you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord? Did you accept his crucifixion for the salvation through the remittance by the shed blood of the Lamb, the remittance of your sins? Do you accept all that? He said, I was with you in weakness, fear, and in much trembling. Now, he's not talking about the fear that God says God has not given a spirit of fear. He's talking about, I'm just not comfortable standing in front of you talking. Amen? And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Amen.
In the end of all things, I want you to have faith in Christ, in the power of God in your life, not in what I stand here and tell you. 9 out of 10 people, I'll walk through that door, I can stand out front and say, what did we talk about today? After they finish in that other room and sitting talking to each other, they'll forget. I don't know, remind me, give me a word. That's fine, I don't mind. What I'm saying to you is this. There is a life that you can have, an abundant life filled with the power of God to defeat the works of the enemy in your life, in your family's life, in your finances, in your health, in every area of your life. There's power available to you. Paul prayed in Ephesians. He said, Father, give him a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Open the eyes of their understanding. In other words, open the heart, the eyes of the heart. Open those. They can see with the natural, but they need it in here. That they would know what is the hope of your calling. In other words, when God called you, chose you, appointed you, cleansed you, washed you, put you up there, there's a purpose for it. God called you out of the darkness into the light. He wants you to be a light to this world. He wants the world to look to your life and say, I want what you got. In the midst of all this junk out there, you got peace. I've learned some things. I'm still not perfect, but I'm learning. When the Giants are losing, I turn the TV off. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Because I don't like to get aggravated. Do you understand that? When people are complaining and murmuring, I don't want to be around them.
Amen.
I don't want it. I want peace. I want peace. And I know there's certain things in my life, like watching the election, I didn't need to watch it. I knew tomorrow morning I got up, I'd know what the answer was. So why do I go through the aggravation of watching it? Right? Until somebody woke me up. But I want you to know something. When I got woke up, it had already been decided. Or real close to it, right? And go through all the aggravation other people did. Amen? So I'm learning to guard my heart, for out of it come the issues of life. So if I want the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened, my heart to understand, God called me to a hope, not the distraction.
Amen.
Amen. So, he said, open the eyes so they would know what are the riches. How many know you're rich? Jesus became poor that you may become rich. Rich in what? Listen to me. If you've been called and God already knows your heart, God knows your heart, amen? And you've been called to be financially rich, it's not for you. Now, you'll be blessed out of it.
Amen.
And God doesn't care if you got the best car, the best house, the best whatever. God doesn't care about that. But when he tells you to give, you better give. Because if you keep it, the blessing that he's trying to get into your hands, and he's trying to get your hands so that he can promote the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he also wants you to be blessed. He said, I'm going to make you the head, not the tail. He said, I'm going to set you far above all other nations. You're supposed to be far above all other peoples. Not looking down in them in pride, but looking down there with humility, saying, look what my God has done for me, he'll do for you.
Amen.
I'm never wanting to go down to the level down here. I always want to bring people up here.
That's right.
God always wants to bring you up. Now the way to up, though, is through the cross. What do you mean? He said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Amen? Deny yourself. What do you mean by that? Well, some ways you say, okay, that jelly donut looks good, but I'm going to deny myself it. Because I know if I have too much sugar, it's an open door for the enemy to get to me. Do you understand? I'm learning. I haven't learned it fully yet. I still take a bite of that once in a while. I shouldn't. God said, don't do that. It looks good though, Lord. Don't do that. Yeah, but I'm sure it's going to taste good. Yeah, I know. But don't do that.
Yeah.
Amen? Okay, there's a battle going on.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also saying this. I like what Paul did. He denied himself. He said, I was crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. He said, it's not me who does those things, but the sin that dwells within me. Paul was denying the fact that he was less than what God said he was. That's when you start claiming what God said about you. Yeah, but isn't that boastful? I don't know. Ask God. He said it.
Mm-hmm.
He called me holy. He called me righteous. He said I'm sanctified. Just means set apart. I've been justified. Just as if I've never sinned. God. God said I'm rich. He said I'm the head and not the tail. That's all that God told me. God keeps telling me I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
I'm whole and of sound mind and body. I thank you, Lord, I got the mind of Christ.
Yes.
My thoughts are his thoughts. My ways are his ways. Why? Because he's leading me in a way of life. The other way leads to death.
Amen.
So there's nothing wrong with denying yourself, picking up your cross. What's your cross? What did God call you to? What has God called you to? Come on now, what has God called you to? Each one of us have a certain thing that God's called us into. I said a few of them already. He called you into holiness, righteousness, sanctification. He called you into all these things, right? But he also has, every person has a purpose. Every person has a purpose. God created you for a purpose. Not just to come to church on a Sunday morning, not just to live your life out and die and go to heaven. But you're supposed to be significant while you're here. You have purpose. Well, what's my purpose? I don't know what my purpose is. I'll tell you what. Spend some time with God. You want to know what your purpose is? Shut everything down. Get alone with God. Jesus said, go in your prayer closet. Well, whatever that is. I find that when I get up in the morning now, I get up like this morning at 4:30 because I knew I had to get ready for the service, but I wanted my hour of time with him. So I get in my chair, I lean back, I take my prayer book, I go through my prayers, I spend time in praying in tongues, I spend time just listening. There's times I'll be middle of praying and then the Lord says, shut up and listen. And he'll start talking to me. Why? Because he's got something for me to do. 99.9% of the messages that I bring to you come out of the spirit realm. I use a lot of what I read and I hear I get a kick out of this stuff. Here I am. We've been dealing with the gifts of the Spirit on Wednesdays, and we just dealt with the gifts of healings on Wednesday. And I know I've been this because God is getting ready to do some wonderful works of healings and miracles. But he also wants us to understand, if you get healed and you don't deal with the issue that got you to that place, you'll fall right back into it again. God doesn't want that. God wants you free, totally free, that when that comes again, you're ready and prepared, that when the evil comes into your door, you just don't accept it and let it come in. When you stand up and fight the good fight of faith, you watch the enemy flee. He went on to say in Ephesians 1, he said that they would know what is the power that's available to them. He actually said the exceeding greatness of the power. You have such great power available to you. Every one of us. But we live more in the flesh. And instead of using the power God gave us, it would be like this. I remember Sergeant York of that movie. Remember that? One of the movies was he was clearing a field of big rocks. And he took a big piece of stick, log, or actually branch of some kind, put it under there. There's two ways of trying to remove stuff out of our life. Trying to do it ourselves, or using leverage. The leverage is the power of God. You can either try to move a mountain by shoveling it, one shovel at a time, or you can say to that mountain, speak to it by the power of God. We have a choice. When you walk by the Spirit, the Bible says you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, those who are walking by the Spirit are the sons of God. When you operate as a son of God. All right. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. He said, if you'd operate as a son of God instead of a son of man, you'd do much better. You were one time out of the household of the first Adam. But now you came out of a different household. You had the household and the DNA of the first Adam who fell. And that all that sin passed right on into your life when you were born. But when you became born again, you took on the DNA of the second Adam. Oh, glory. Amen. So, the curse that passed through from the first Adam all the way into your life has then been kicked out, and the blessing that came out of the second Adam is now filling your life. See, the problem is, no mind can conceive, no eye can see, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive all that God has prepared for those who love them and called according to his purpose. We can't fathom it ourselves, thinking this, how is it possible to live a glorious, abundant life while we live here on earth? How is it possible? Well, impossible, not with man. Do you know, you can read every day about rich people dying, getting sick, diseases, divorces. Every day you can see it. So rich money doesn't bring anything. Brings nothing. But there is a riches that brings everything. That's the riches that come out of heaven. He said, all good things come from above. Again, I tell you, God is not adverse to you being rich. He just doesn't want riches to have you. You spend your time trying to figure out how you can spend your money rather than how you can spend time with him. In the end, it's borne out in the fruit of people's lives. We know who you spend time with. We know where your heart is. We know what you desire in life. Because it's the fruit In other words, the way you live your life, the way you talk, is a reflection of what's in your heart. But not here. We got men and women of God who are hungry for the knowledge that will set them free from this worldly system. He said we're in this world, but not of this world. Let me finish here. Go with me into Psalm 91. You know this psalm. We've handed out papers. But I want you to look at it just in this fashion. Not different, just in this fashion. I wanted you to look at it as this is the written covenant God established for you. This is your covenant is put down in words. Okay? Now listen. Okay, Lord, we'll do it this way. Go down to 14. We're going backwards. God, I think the Lord just told me, go backwards. Here's a result of your saying yes to his covenant and setting your love on him. This is what he says. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, God is saying, because you, Beverly, set your love on him. Because you, Diane. Because you, Diane. Juan, all of us. Because you have set your love on him, he said, because you have set your love on me, therefore I will deliver you. I'm going to set you up on high. Because you've taken my name. This seed of covenant relationship we talked about before. He said, you shall call upon God, and God said, I will answer them. God said, I'll be with them in trouble. Thank you, Jesus. I like this. He didn't leave it there. Who wants to be with God in trouble and still be in the trouble? He said, I'll be with you in trouble. And listen to what he said after that. I will deliver him out of the trouble. Hallelujah. And honor him with long life. God will satisfy us and show us his salvation. There you go. When you set your heart on the covenant with God and you set your love on him. Now go back. Verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Again, I heard where a rabbi said the secret place of the Most High is the Word of God. Amen. Understand. Excuse me. People who aren't saved, who don't have the Spirit of God, they can read words like this and it has no meaning to them. You understand that? It's not their fault. It's not just because, well, it's because the Spirit of God is what brings divine revelation to us. It's the Spirit of God in us who brings truth out of this word that sets us free. Amen? It's the divine work of the Holy Spirit who takes this word when we apply it and bring it into our hearts, that he takes that word and produces a great fruit out of it. In other words, our lives, which used to be useless and wasted, now becomes fruitful and bearing, and it's starting to do things that changes other people's lives and bring glory to God. That's what it's about. In the end of all things, when you're all said and done, if nobody out down here knows your name, the angels in heaven do. God knows. You can be a quiet person and just live your life, and you're living your life to the fullness of God. In other words, you have given everything to him, you've loved him and followed him, then you listen to him and you've done whatever he asked. And so you don't stand before a group of people. You don't see a lot of people seeing around, but all of a sudden there's people being changed. Hearts are being moved. People are being loved on. That nobody else would go near because God was able to get to him with you. What a difference. All right, let me go on. I want to get done here. I will say of the Lord, Amen? In this covenant relationship, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. I don't have my notes. Lost them someplace. I wrote out, or printed out, I think 3 or 4 pages of scriptures dealing with trusting God. Trusting Him. In the scriptures, it talks about 3 different types of faith. No faith, little faith, and great faith. We are not people of no faith. Everybody was given a measure of faith. We operate in faith. You got saved by faith through grace, right? By grace through faith. But there's guys who, when the disciples were sent across the lake, and He said, go on over to the other side in the boat, and all of a sudden storms of life started coming. They started crying, where are you? Don't you care that we're about to die? Sound familiar? And Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. All you had to do was stand up and tell the storm, be still. Power that you have available to you. Hallelujah. The great faith was the centurion who came to Jesus so their servant would be healed. And He said, just speak your word and he'll be healed. Jesus said, I've never seen so great a faith in all of Israel. His word is sufficient for every need of your life. Your word wielded as a sword will defeat every enemy in your life. Hallelujah. The power is available to us. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit will tell you of things to come. He gives you a warning. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't open that. Don't do this. And what do we do? Yeah, but I want to. So then we have to enter into things, do things, and then all of a sudden things start coming back on us, and all of a sudden things start going wrong in our life, and we wonder, where's God in all of this? God warned you. Let me put it this way. Oh, never mind. I'm not going there. That'll take me the rest of the year. Okay. He shall cover you with feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it's not coming near me. What's not coming near me? No arrow, no pestilence, no destruction is not coming into my life. It's not coming. Hallelujah. No evil shall befall me. Nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. What did I tell you? God wants you to live a life free from sickness and disease and infirmity. Nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. For listen to this, He gives His angels charge over us. You got angels working for you. I instruct ministering spirits. I send them out. I put them up as a hedge of protection about us. I do. I believe in angels. I believe I saw one time. I believe in angels. And I believe they're ministering spirits for us. Amen? Don't just ignore them. Don't just ignore them. They're going to lift you up unless you dash your foot against a stone. They're going to lift you up. They're going to keep you up. Upright. Yeah, you're going to slip a little bit. That's all right. They're right there to pick you up. Oh, yeah, but that's the Old Testament. No, this is the covenant promises. That same covenant. We got a better covenant than that. They had one angel. We got two. I just said that, so don't get... Nobody even thought about it. They say, okay, we got two. Oh, all right. No, I don't know how many you got. Let me tell you this. I got a book at home, and it's all about different stories about where angels intervened in people's lives. It's amazing. At the right time, at the right moment, angels were there for protection. Angels were there for provision. Angels were there to help them. It's amazing. There was a little boy fell down in a well. 30 feet or so down into the wall. You know, it was a dugout well. By the time all the people found him and everything, hours had gone by, and they got him up out of that well. He was still fine. He said, how did you make it? He said, somebody was holding me up above the water, my head above the water. Somebody was holding me up. Who was it? Angels. You got angels. Don't get, praise God. What a promise God has given us. What a covenant we have with him. Hallelujah. He said they will keep you in all your ways. Not some of them. Not some of them. Well, they will here, but not all your ways. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, young lion, serpent, you shall trample underfoot. In other words, you don't have to be afraid of what the demons coming at you, the devil can do, or any of that stuff. They are subject to you. You are not to them.
Amen.
Does God want you to be healthy? Yes. Does God want you to be healed, first of all? Yes, obviously. Jesus took your sickness and diseases on the cross at Calvary. Every bit of your pain, he took at the cross at Calvary. Well, why am I still in pain? Did you do what God told you to do? Did you get onto the covenant of God and confess what God said? Lord, you told me I have a covenant relationship. You said that Jesus took all my sicknesses, all my pain, all my infirmity. You said it, Father. So I accept it now, and I agree with it right now. Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Sometimes you got to stand up. You got to make as if you're standing on that covenant. You got to speak it out loud. You got to say it. You got to command it. You got to speak it. You got to go with it. What did he say? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man has much power to it. That means you're not just sitting accepting it. You're fighting back. And you got to fight back. It's a battle for your life. It's a battle for you. Now, you can go through life and accept what's coming. Or you can fight the good fight of faith and say no. I know who I am. I know the covenant I have with my Father. I know what Jesus did on the cross. And I know that right now that he hasn't changed. Nothing's changed in my life except this. I'm stopping just accepting what's going on, and I'm fighting. I'm fighting. I'm getting ready. I'm putting on that armor. I'm picking up my sword. I'm picking up my shield. And I'm starting to step out in faith, believing what God said to be true. I'm not going to complain and murmur about what isn't. I'm going to just declare what is. I start calling those things that aren't as though they be. I start walking in the power of the faith that God has entrusted me with. And if I don't have it, Father, help my unbelief. Help me, Lord. I'm weak in this area of my faith. Trust you. He'll tell you, go into my scriptures, read my word. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to show you exactly what I've done and what I'm doing and what I will do.
Amen.
God is an awesome God.
Amen.
My hope, my desire, my prayer is we have no one sick in this building except the ones coming in to get healed. My hope and my prayer is when you get set free, do you start operating in the gifts of the Spirit? And you start laying hands on the sick. You start casting out demons. You start raising the dead. You start fighting the enemy and defeating him. Not just accepting, not just receiving, but you become givers. He finished that by saying, Father, that they would know what the exceeding greatness of their power toward us who believe. We have great power in us and with us. And if you're feeling weak in that, ask God, he'll give you more. What do you mean? He'll give you a refreshing. He'll give you a fresh infilling. Ask him. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I need more power today. I'm fighting a great battle. I'm going to work and all these people are talking all this nonsense and this stuff going on. And I need more faith, Father, today to just fill me with your Spirit. Let me walk in the power of your might today when I get out of this place. Watch what God will do. Amen. And it's not, we don't go beat up on people. We love them. We accept them. I'm going to tell you what. If Hillary needs a place to be consoled, bring her here. We'll console her. I'm serious. We'll tell her, you know, through Christ, God's got more for you available, more power available for you than the United States presidency. The president has less power. Jesus said, no one born of woman is as great as John the Baptist was. But he said, those who are born of the Spirit, those who are least in the kingdom of God, is greater than he is. So you think they wield power? That's like having a firecracker compared to a nuclear weapon. We're the nuclear weapon. We can blow things up that don't come back together. We can cast out demons where they can't come back. Glory to God. You got more power than all this nonsense out there. That's why the devil hates you. That's why the devil fears you. That's why he will try to do whatever he can to stop you from knowing who you are and what's available to you. He will try to pull you by tempting you with all this stuff of the world. So, oh, you can have all this stuff. Oh, look, we can have fun and do all this stuff. Because he's afraid of what you will do if you start operating out of the kingdom of God. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, the one in this place who thinks that God has nothing for them has more for you than you'll ever realize without him. Hallelujah. We're going to take communion. Get ready. Get ready. Father, we thank you, Lord, as we prepare to receive from you.